Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
It's Denver's home for today's comedy, Comedy 103.1. It's Big Mike. Glad to get this man back in studio. He's always traveling the world, all over the place. And you know him from Flight of the Conchords, millions of hits on YouTube. And this weekend, he's right back here at Comedy Works downtown. We got Art Barker. What's up, man?
Hey, Big Mike. You know, I want to stay here but just stay here with you.
Yeah.
I gotta make a living, you know what I mean?
That's important.
I mean, you give me a free water, that's cool.
I did give you a free water.
But I gotta get out there and hustle. So
yeah.
I go around, you know, I usually leave here and then I'll go around to different countries or different cities.
You probably need to work more than just one weekend to survive here in Denver. So, what's been going on with you, man? Welcome back to the Mile High City.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I've been living in Australia at the moment.
Yeah.
And working a lot there, touring a lot there. And then I try to go back to the States, too.
Well, you say at the moment, last time you were here, you were in Australia. Like, do you see yourself living in Australia for life? Or do you just here for a few years?
I've been on this long tour there.
Yeah.
A national tour there. So I sort of base myself there. And I mostly go out on the weekends.
Yeah.
And, no, for me, it's a fluid thing. It's like, you know, I'll kind of go where the work is.
Yeah.
And I'm working on, you know, putting together a TV project out there. It's making good progress.
Nice.
A little early to sort of go into detail about it. But if anyone is saying, well, why doesn't that guy do a TV show?
You're working on it.
Besides me.
You're working on it.
Besides the voice in my head.
Yeah.
If anyone else thinks that, well, I am working on it.
You are working on it. Well, that's cool. You know, a lot of comedians, whether they come from like California, New York, your flight's a little longer from Australia. How long of a flight is it to Australia to, you know, get here to the continental U.S.?
You know, there seems to be like a misperception about how long it is because people say, oh my God, I could net that flight. You know, I could never do it.
Yeah.
But it's really only a couple hours maybe longer than some flights to Europe.
So
it'll be like 12 hours sometimes.
Very nice.
12 to 14.
Okay.
But, you know, you could fly to parts of Europe from the West Coast and it'll be 10 hours.
Yeah.
So it's just one more terrible movie and a nap.
Yeah. So when you're performing out there, I mean, is there big differences between the Australian audiences and here in the U.S.? Because, I mean, even here in the U.S., there's different audiences depending on where you're at. Denver,
yeah, sure.
South,
yeah.
Or whatever. Like, you see anything, big differences from here in Australia?
On a good night, no. I mean, a great crowd's a great crowd.
Yeah.
Aside from references, you know, if I'm talking about something specific to Australia, you know, that might not work here.
Uh-huh.
But overall, I mean, no, a good crowd's a good crowd. Sometimes they're more relaxed than you can imagine.
Are they?
Even if I'm playing to, say, 500 people that came to see me specifically, which is great, and that's what I've worked for, is to have that privilege to be there, but that's like my dream as a comedian is to play, to, you know, to sell out a room and they're there to see me. But even then, I'd say it's hardly a given that the applause will last until I get to the microphone. It's like, what do you have to do to get people excited? But they're very laid back. I think there's too much sun over there.
Maybe it's a little
sun cooked or something. But sometimes, you know, they're very laid back, but they're wonderful audiences, and you know, as smart as any audiences where I play anywhere else. So,
well, you speak about being laid back. You know, here in Colorado, certain things are legal that maybe make us a little laid back, but
maybe,
And, you know, you're one of the co-creators or one of the creators of the marijuana logs. When you see Colorado come on your calendar, and you know, certain things are legal, how do you feel when you see the Colorado come up on your calendar?
Well, I've cut way back on my consumption of the implied article.
Of water? I was talking about water.
Yeah,
what did you think I was talking about?
Now.
What did you think I was talking about?
So for me, it's not a massive deal. And I think also, even if I was still a massive stoner, then I would probably already know how to get weed
mm-hmm.
in most places anyway. But at least in the United States, it's not that difficult.
Right.
People come to you, you know, they'll show up any state. I mean, or any city, right? You can get guys delivering mm-hmm. weed. Excuse me, for years in New York, it's been like that. So it's kind of cool, and then it's kind of a novelty.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, I can finally smoke pot. Because I can smoke pot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have pot sitting at home that people have given
There's
me.
There's the cool novelty of the legality of it, though. Knowing that it's just the stigma. Because, I mean, it's a lot of it's stigma. I mean, decades and decades and decades, everybody's been doing it.
It could make it more enjoyable, more relaxing to smoke.
Yeah.
I want them to open up, like, the proper, like, Amsterdam-style coffee shops where you can go there. get a coffee and roll one up.
Yep, definitely.
Because you still have to kind of get it.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
you're like, okay, you're on your own. Good luck. Don't get caught. Or
go in the back alley if you're going
to
do it.
You have to go somewhere, you know, on, I guess, private property.
Yeah.
To smoke it, and I don't have private property here.
Oh, but you got a lot of friends, so we'll make sure we would give you a location.
I mean, if I go on.
And the other thing with Colorado is it's home of Comedy Works, you know, one of the best comedy clubs in the country, and
inarguably,
yeah,
one of the best clubs, if not the best club in the country.
Yeah, and you're going to be there at Comedy Works downtown this weekend. You can get your tickets at comedyworks.com. You know, what is it? You know, a lot of comedians have said it's one of the best. Mm-hmm. What is it that makes one of the best comedy clubs?
Well, it's for me, I think it's a couple things. It's the layout, you know, because you're just enmeshed in the crowd, almost like in a sort of a home plate position, and they sort of fan out on either side. And you're just right, and you're practically over the audience, too, because you have people below you, and you have people at the same level. And so that makes a huge difference. Low ceilings.
Yeah.
I think I'm not alone I think a lot of comedians like rooms with a low ceiling. Keeps it kind of bottles in the laughs, and makes it maybe seem more intimate, but also consistently you have great audiences that come, and there's a tradition of that, of great shows that they come to see. So I think, you know, they get it. You know, we have to show up, bring some energy, have fun, and you know, it is a dialogue. So sometimes I've said that in a more frustrated moment, like this is actually a dialogue.
Yeah,
like you have to give me something.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you know, they just sit there like, is this it? Yeah, this is it. It's comedy.
Yeah.
But they get it in Denver, and they come out raring to have a good time. Disruptions are rare. You know, like, you know, they don't cross the line. Mm. You know, it's just great. You know, it's just consistently good.
But we have Arch Barker
here. They get the jokes, and that sometimes that's more than you can ask.
We got a smart audience out here. I think we got a smart audience.
And they come in a good mood. And you know, I don't know. It's hard to say exactly why. But there are a few reasons you could point to.
Definitely. And that's
also,
where you'll be. Comedy Works.
One of the managers is sitting in the room with us right now, so what am I going to say?
Exactly. I think even if she was not in here, it would be all the same. Arch Barker, he's at Comedy Works downtown. And not only...
Also, I'm working with Tony Kameen this weekend.
Okay.
Who's the feature act.
He came with you last time, right?
Yeah, he did. We toured together a lot. We were really good friends until I got this text I got earlier, but never mind. But he's really funny, and he's also one of the co-creators of the Marijuana Locks.
Nice.
So we're home.
Very
nice.
That's great. And but not only do you stand up, you've gotten into music. You're also into rap. Or at least you've done it before.
I've enjoyed making rap since high school, a little bit. You know, messing around with it. I have a great respect for hip hop, you know, and I don't consider myself necessarily a rapper or at least.
But you have rapped.
A great one. But I like to try to write a rap like someone else, and it's my right to do so. So recently, I put out a new song about Facebook. Is that the one you're recording?
Disgracebook.
Disgracebook, yeah.
Well, you got the video out, and I'm gonna check with you and make sure it's the right link, because it's not like an Arch Barker's page per se. It's like a Big Dog production, something like that, or whatever. I don't know what it is, but, you know, our comedy Facebook has 4.5 million followers. I'm going to post that right after this interview. I'm going to put it on there, and I don't know how many. We're going to try to get
that. I would love that if
you
did
that. We're going to pass to try to get that, like, over 100,000 views or something.
It's really not done much on YouTube, unfortunately, but the one on Facebook is up to, I think, over 500,000 views on Facebook.
Oh, well, then we'll post that version. We'll post that one. Unless you want us to post the YouTube. We'll post either or. But, it's basically a, looking at Facebook and pointing at all the craziness.
Yeah, it's just making fun of how people use Facebook to self-promote. And if you have had that feeling of reading, going through your Facebook wall and thinking, oh, look, having such a great time on, you know, I can't believe I'm in France, and you're just sitting there going, oh Jesus, you know.
Like, my favorite Facebook posts, the ones where like it's just a sad face, and it's like, you know, everybody's gonna say what's wrong.
Well, that's
and they're like, I don't want to talk about
that's
it.
That's the cryptic post.
Then don't post it on Facebook because you know everybody's gonna jump.
I thought
on
about
and say,
it. You know, I had each person has a Facebook post that bugged them. I think unless you're just really uncynical and you're like, I just love Facebook.
Yeah.
Then you're part.
I love the sad pain.
You're part
sad
of the problem. But everyone's got the things that bug them, and so I try to think of the ones that bug me, but also ones that people would relate to. I didn't have the cryptic post, which is sort of irritating, but I didn't, and I could have you know, come up with the line. But in the end, I had to edit a few ideas out. I had some other ones that didn't make the song. Like, one of the things that kind of bugs me is when people say, "Oh my God, I can't believe how much birthday love I'm getting." And then, of course, everyone has to go, "Oh, happy birthday." So everyone jumps in.
I'd like to thank each and every one of you for the 100. Then there's those that count them. I got a 147 birthday show. I'm like, really? Really?
Yeah, it sort of seems like, just to make sure everybody knows it's my birthday.
Yeah. And they liked every single one of them. Hit that like button.
Yeah, so that one ended up on the cutting room floor, but I had a lyric about that.
Oh, there's a lot of hip-hop songs out there that got a sequel. So you can just come out with Disgrace Book
That's
Part
true.
2.
Yeah,
it's all
maybe,
good.
Yeah, I would be very... grateful if you put that on the page.
We're going to put that on the page, and you know,
actually, I
want to
put
that
one with subtitles, because I think that's a thing. People watch stuff without sound.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're on the bus or something, so I need to add subtitles onto it.
Yeah, there's a lot of visualization going on it too. So
yeah.
Well, we want to thank you for making time for us. Like I said, you can see him this weekend. Comedy Works Downtown. Get tickets at comedyworks.com or at the box office. Arch Barker, it's going to be a nice weekend out in town.
It sure is. The weather's good.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So thanks for having me on.
No, thank you so much for stopping by. It's Comedy 103.1.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.